So today in our Uncommon Character series, we're going to meet kind of an obscure character, Moses' mother. Anybody know her? Well, it's up there, Jochebed. So we don't know a whole lot about Jochebed. We do know that she trusted God, and from her story, we see that God works wonders through trust. Speaking of trust, hey, kids in the craft corner, can you help me for a second? Put those crafts on hold for just a second. Come help me. Come on. I need some help. So responsible, closing their markers. Hey, have you guys ever heard of a trust fall? Have you guys heard of that? Have you guys heard of a trust fall? Okay, so what we're going to do, you all stand right here. Come over here. Yeah, I'm just going to lean back and fall on you, and you catch me, okay? Does that sound good? Is nobody going to stop this? You don't? Yeah. So one day, you will be strong enough to catch me. Not today, but one day. Thank you for your help. Can we thank them? Okay, you can go finish your creations now. Thank you. Careful on the way down. So like, I probably couldn't trust them to catch me, right? We have to know who we're putting our trust in. And Jochebed knew who she was putting her trust in. And we can trust God because of what he has done, or because of what he has given us in Jesus. So my desire for this series is that we would focus not on what God could do for us, but what God can accomplish through us. Because God has given his son Jesus that whoever trusts in him would have true life. And the Bible says if he's done that for us, what would he withhold? So with that in mind, we have everything that we need. So at some point, as followers of Jesus, we have to say, okay, well, I have what I need, and God, you woke me up today, you gave me breath and life, so what do you want me to do? What are you going to accomplish through me? So that's our goal and our focus for this series. That is not our normal, it's not my normal way of thinking. I tend to think a lot more about myself and what God can do for me. So I wrote a prayer that we can pray just to help us aim our thoughts in that direction. So let's put that on the screen and pray together. God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. Help me not to ask what you can do for me today, but what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, who's ready for a story? Story time? Story time. Okay, our story takes place about 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus. God's people, that's the Israelites, they were slaves to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, he didn't want the Israelites getting too strong. So he demanded that every newborn Israelite baby boy would be thrown into the Nile River. It's a pretty dark time. So our character Jochebed, she had a baby who she knew was special, like all mamas, right? But she knew this baby had a special and unique calling to be used by God, so she protected him. She did not do what Pharaoh said. She hid her baby. But once his crying and cooing got too loud for her to hide, she built a waterproof basket and tucked him into the river in a place where he would be found by Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. So this young woman had compassion on the baby, and God worked wonders through Jochebed's trust. So this is from Exodus 2. It says, then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother, and I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. And the princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. There's a lot going on here. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to change some of the pronouns to names and just help us see what God did here. So let's read that again. I'm going to give you a little more context to connect the dots. Then Moses' sister approached the princess. Said, hey, should I just go find some random Hebrew woman to nurse this baby? Just anybody. I'll find any Hebrew woman to nurse the baby. Should I do that? Oh, that'd be great. Yes, do, the princess replied. So Moses' sister went and got Moses' mom. Went and got the baby's mom. And the princess said, please nurse this baby and I'll pay you. Like pay you the way a princess would pay someone to do work for her. So Jochebed took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when he was older, Jochebed took Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own, and he grew up in the palace. And she named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. So God worked wonders through Jochebed's trust. She trusted him, and then she got to take him back. God worked wonders through Jochebed's trust. And this is not a unique theme in God's story. Right? Throughout the Bible, we see stories of what happens when people trust God. So we're going to look at three stories quickly and see what happens when we trust God. One time, Jesus was in a boat with his disciples, and a violent storm broke out. Water was smashing the side of the boat. It was falling into the boat. And Jesus was chill, so he was asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples went and woke him up and they said, don't you care that we're drowning? You ever say that to God? Don't you care that I'm drowning? I'm barely hanging on. Do you even care? That's what they said to him. And it's really cool to see his response that Jesus got up. He showed that he cared. And he went out on the boat and he spoke to the wind and to the waves and he said, that's enough. Be still. And the wind tucked its head like a dog who'd been caught chewing a shoe. The churning waves relaxed like a bed sheet that had been pulled taut, and everything was smooth, and everything, including these teenage disciples who had been scared and overwhelmed, everything was calm. And Jesus asked them, why are you afraid? You still have no faith? And the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. So in this story, we see a picture of young men starting to learn that they can trust God. Another story. Let's back up about 900 years. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. You can see here they were surrounded by enemy armies. So I want us to imagine ourselves in this situation. So imagine we were standing out here under our new awning, not falling in the holes in the ground. We're all out here, and everywhere we look, there are enemy armies. As far as we can see, every direction, we are surrounded by enemy armies, and that's where they were. And a terrified Jehoshaphat stood with his people, and all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. So men, do you feel that? We're standing surrounded by enemies. You're holding your little one's hand. You're with your wife who wants you, who needs you to be strong. That's where we're at. Alongside our family, before our enemies. Your enemy may not be an army. It could be anger. You have a short temper. Your enemy could be gambling or alcohol or pornography. Your enemy could be the lie that your life would be better or easier with somebody else, with another spouse. Your enemy could be the lie that you're not part of the problem. Am I getting too personal? No? Okay, good. I'll keep going. Maybe your enemy is your past. You messed up. Bad. And your enemy says, that's all you'll ever be. just a disappointment. Your enemy wants you to believe that it's all your fault. You're weak. You're not worth loving. Your future is going to look just like your past. You needed to be tough. You need to do better. You need to work harder. You need to have more and be more. You need to fight. You need to be better. But deep down, this is all you got. You're tired. So that's where we're at. Alongside our family, before our enemy. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. And he said, "This is what the Lord says, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So whatever the enemy you stand before, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. So the next morning, with their defeat imminent, Jehoshaphat gathered his men, and he said, "Well, boys, this is not going to be a good day." They didn't have a whole lot of hope, but the condition doesn't change God. So you know what they did? They sang and they praised God. This is the first song we sang this morning, "The Battle Belongs." This scenario inspired that song. So you know what the men did? They obviously weren't going to fight and defeat these armies. And the Lord said, "Hey, this battle is not yours, it's God's." So the men sang and praised God. And as they sang, as they praised God, do you know what happened? They watched as all these enemy armies attacked each other. They watched as their enemies killed each other. And there's a very simple explanation of why this happened. Because the battle belonged to God. Because it was not their battle. So in this story, a group of men sees what happens when God works through their trust. Okay, one more example of trusting God. There's a man whose son was possessed by an evil spirit that would seize him, that would hurt him. And this dad loved his little boy, but his entire life, he watched him suffer. And their hope was all but gone. But then the dad heard about this man named Jesus. People told him, "I've seen him give sight to the blind, legs to the lame. He's given hearing to the deaf. He has driven out diseases. He has brought the dead back to life." So the dad said, "Well, I guess if hope is to be found, it's to be found in this man Jesus." So he took his son to Jesus, and he said, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible for a person who believes." And the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." So Jesus then casts the evil spirit out and gives the boy back his life. The dad said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." Right? "I have faith, but help me when it hurts to have faith, when it's scary." Right? "I want to trust, but I need you to give me that trust." And this is the moment where this man stops being somebody written about on a page and he becomes a real man, right? Like, "God, I want to trust, but I need you to give me the ability to do it." So he sees what happens when he believed, when he had trust. He saw Jesus give him his son's life back. So all these stories of trusting God, they have two ingredients: doubt and trust. Right? We feared the storm and then saw God's authority. We're overwhelmed and surrounded by enemies, and then we watched God fight on our behalf. There's a life taken by evil, and then we witness Jesus giving new life. So doubt, and then learning to trust God. Speaking of trust, at our student gathering Wednesday, a water balloon fight may have broken out. I don't know if it did or if it didn't, but it may have. And it was fun, so I thought we could have a little fun today. Any takers? Let me get a good one here. Do you trust me? Okay, that's a good one. Most of these are real. I put this far. I saw it happen Wednesday night. I don't trust some of you. You got to be careful who you trust, right? So all these characters doubted, and then we see them trust God. Right? These people were overwhelmed. They were hopeless. They saw no way out. And then they witness God's power and healing and love. And my friends, that is also our story. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. We were overwhelmed, hopeless, and had no way out. And in that moment, that's when Jesus came to give his life for us. And God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Overwhelmed, hopeless, no way out. And experiencing and seeing God's power and healing and love through Jesus. So Jochebed gave her son, and he would eventually free his people from oppression and slavery. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. So Jochebed's story points to a greater love, to a deeper rescue. Jochebed gave her son, and the Israelites would be saved, and God gave his son, that whoever believes would be saved eternally. And there are two conditions in that, right? Whoever believes. I want you to come to church here and be encouraged by who you are, who God says you are. And today I'm going to tell you, you are whoever. You meet that requirement. You are a whoever. So it is offered to you. The other is whoever trusts, whoever believes. You got to be whoever you are. And the only other condition, it says, if you trust, you believe in Jesus, you are given life. And this gift isn't tucked away into the river where you have to go find it. It is freely and openly given to you. So if you don't know that the hope beyond this broken world that's in Jesus, I would love to talk to you about that today. If you have questions about that, or if you want to talk about what it means to trust God, I would love to talk to you about that. Speaking of trust, should we do a real trust fall? I had a plan that I was going to do a real one, but I was going to hand pick who's going to catch me. And if you were here a few weeks ago, it would be the men who've achieved Fullstärker. That's why you can't miss church, because you miss out on learning about 17th century Icelandic fishing culture. It's a whole thing. But I was going to choose a few of you big, burly brutes of men to stand here and catch me. But that's not a real picture of what it looks like to trust God, right? Because most times when he calls us to trust him, it's scary. You don't have the assurance of the mountains of men we have here catching you. It's scary. But in the character of Jochebed, we see that God works wonders through trust. Because in the New Testament, in Hebrews, we're told it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. But Jochebed didn't fear Pharaoh because she trusted God. And I feel like I'm at the Apollo, and that was the hook coming out to... Jochebed knew what was happening. She wasn't ignorant. She knew that if Pharaoh didn't have a problem killing newborn baby boys, he wouldn't mind throwing in a couple of parents. She knew it was scary. She knew there was a risk. But she trusted God, and God worked wonders through her trust. So the question today is, how is God calling you to trust him? Where in your life is God saying, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, this is my battle? Or maybe a better way to think of it is, where do you struggle to trust God? Right, like what spins around your mind at night while you watch the ceiling fan do the same? What takes your focus when you try to be present and enjoy the moment? Is it your health? Maybe you feel like a stranger in your body and you don't know where to go for help. You've been reduced to a diagnosis. Right? You don't want to be defined by a disease. You're more than that. Or maybe you struggle to trust God with finances. Like you've run out of places to hide those bills. Money's going out faster than it's coming in. You don't know how that's ever going to change. Things don't look good at work. Like you've worked hard to build a career, but technology is changing and you're afraid it's going to push you out. Or maybe you're young and you don't know what you want to do for the rest of your life. Forever. Maybe you struggle trusting God with relationships. You wonder if you'll always be alone. You struggle to trust God that there's hope for your marriage, or that you'll ever talk to that wayward child again, that you'll ever find like a real friend. Do you struggle to trust God that your life has meaning and purpose? Turns out life's not the romantic comedy you were sold. You struggle to trust God that there's even a reason to keep going. Maybe your boat has been rocked by a storm and you wonder if God cares. Or you are surrounded by an enemy and it's hard to trust that this battle, the one you're in, belongs to God. Or you believe, you do believe God's in control, but it's a whole lot easier and more comfortable to just trust your unbelief. So where is God calling you to trust him? In Psalm 18, King David, he writes about what happened when he really trusted God, and it's also a picture of what happens when we truly put our trust in the Lord. He says, "The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears, and he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He led me to a place of safety because he rescued me because he delights in me." So like Jochebed knew there was something special about her baby, God sees you as uncommon and beautiful and special. He loves you, he sees you, he hears you. And you can trust him because like he rescued Moses, he rescued you through Jesus. He, just like Moses, drew you out of deep waters. And he did it because he delights in you. He likes you. He loves you, but he also delights in you. You can trust God because he meets us in our unbelief. He meets us right there. When we are overwhelmed and surrounded by enemies, God says, "This is my battle." Yeah, yours, the one you're in now. And he still has authority over even the biggest storms. Sometimes we just have to say, "God, do you care?" He wants us to come to him so he can show us who he still is. We can trust him. God can work wonders when our trust is in him. I'm going to leave this open now and just give you a minute. We're about to take communion. So I invite you to reflect on this and just ask God where he's calling you to trust him. Tell him the places that it's hard for you to trust him. You can ask him, God, do you care? I'm just going to give us about a minute to reflect on that. Where is God calling you to trust him? God, we thank you for this very simple bread and juice that we hold in our hand. It's a very simple representation of the most miraculous work that has ever been done. That you would give your son to rescue us, to draw us out of deep waters because you delight in us. And I pray that it would be encouragement for a broken heart today. God, that it would restore joy that has been taken today. God, and just for those of us who have wandered from you, that you would use this meal to draw us back, to show us your deep love for us and the delight you take in your children. Amen. So you can open the top and take the bread out. And on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." You can open the juice. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Jesus, thank you. Thank you that your broken body makes us whole. And your blood that's poured out washes us clean. We have an enemy who wants to pull us away from you, but you faithfully draw us back. Jesus, thank you. And because of this, we can trust you. In everything, in every situation, in every storm, surrounded by enemies, we can trust you because of what you have done, because you are victorious, because you have overcome, because you are alive today. We praise you. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.